This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Yes, we're going to start a sweep for possible terms to use instead of regional and sub-regional. The R word has now been consigned to history, like some other things I could name. But let's not, you know, we the abolished salute you. Anyway, the welcome back. I can't see a thing, which is possibly a good thing. Anyway, the important point first, from my point of view, although the Audit Commission ceases to exist in 2012, we will continue to work with public bodies and the private sector as necessary for some time yet. And our successor, which is going to be morph from the public into the social economy sector, will, if anything, be more active in this area rather than less. So, and we've also produced, and I'll say more about that later, new guidance for auditors on value for money in economic development, and I'll say more about that just shortly. But my point is that if anyone in the public, private, or any other sector that might come to emerge from all this would like to know more about what we can do to help, then you will get my contact details on there. So, this is not Boris Johnson. This merely looks like Boris Johnson. Boris refused to pose for this picture, unless he was facing the other way. The dilemma that faces all of us now is this bit, you know, is how do you take local economies forward in what promised to be just unprecedented times on a number of different levels. And we are still in what I like to describe as a context-light environment. You know, yes, there was a wry smile from somewhere over there. Where are we? Which LEPs where? I was going to put LEP map up, but then I thought that's a document with a very short shelf life, so I won't bother. Which LEPs and where? What will they be able to do or not? Whether the national indicator set? Another interesting question for those of us that like that kind of thing. The white papers on national and sub-regional, subnational growth are not yet published. And how the cuts in CLG and business budgets actually play out, that's all going to emerge over the next few weeks. So I'm going to stop the conference now and invite you all to come back in a fortnight. This serious stuff, you know, it really will all start to play out reasonably soon. And that context is important. The short-term prospects and the short-term prospects are for a poor, said he euphemistically, a poor economic and fiscal climate. Therefore, doing the right things, and crucially, doing only the right things and doing them effectively, is going to be absolutely fundamental for LEPs, for their public and private sector partners across the piece. If you are not going to simply be overwhelmed by the tide, and in fact, it's not a tide, it is something more significant than a tide. And the challenge for LEPs is going to be how you deliver on, and the clue's in the name, isn't it? How are you going to deliver on local, on enterprise, and on partnership? And how will you know? So, I'm going to offer you some thoughts on some of that stuff, and in what you might measure. But they are only thoughts, because the indicator set is going and we're going to have a new one, but some steps for hints, as it were. Firstly, the question about local. This is, with due acknowledgement to Professor Paul Hildreth at Salford University, the point I want to make about this is that this has been produced by an eminent professor in the field and is merely a simplification of how local economies work. In this case, it's a simplification of how two different sets of local economies work, as is this. Okay. Yes, more wry laughs, but think about the complexities of all this. The point about all of this is that if you have limited resources and if you want impact, one of the things that is going to be required, in fact, one of the primary and initial requirements is going to be a good understanding of how your economy works. And for instance, since there are people here from both, I believe, if you wanted two good examples of that, Manchester have spent a great deal of money producing some very high quality work that gives them a comprehensive understanding of how their economy works. The Tees Valley have been doing this for some time, and John's work in the Tees Valley on understanding how that economy works is another exemplar of exactly the kind of thing that you're going to have if you don't have it already. The challenge, though, is you're going to have to do it at a different geographic scale. And the other challenge is that whilst that work is very valuable, an awful lot of the preconditions on which something was based and an awful lot of the assumptions are being turned on their head right now in economic terms. Property values, labour market dynamics, a whole range of things. But nonetheless, it's an essential prerequisite. So what I thought I would do is take that diagram away before you all faint and start to just discuss for a minute some of the things that I would suggest that you might, I stress, might measure. This this is the substance of what I would point you towards, and it's no more than that. So the first set of questions, what will it look like for where? Do you have, or how do you come to, a good sense of what the spatial dynamic of this is and which bits of the spatial dynamic? Experian, I commend Experian to you as well as Paul Hildreth, have recently produced a piece of work that looks at the economic resilience of all 350-odd regions. And you might, you know, you could do worse than see where you fit right now before moving on to your ambitions. But what kinds of things and at what spatial scale will they matter? The whole point about LEPs is they're supposed to deliver for all of England, but they're supposed to do so from a local basis. So at the kind of LEP area level, that's going to be about enterprise. What are the shifts in enterprise and how might you measure those things? And it's going to be about labour markets. Who works? How many people work? Where do they work? And crucially, what do they earn? If you get down to the level of an individual authority, because there are individual authorities inside these LEP boundaries, then the dynamics and the question for individual authorities to have to account to their electorate is around jobs, company formation, company growth, that kind of thing, around property values, particularly the property that local authority themselves hold or seek to dispose of in order to balance their budgets. But when you get down below that level, when you get down to local areas, local neighbourhoods, which don't forget, crucially, is where people vote, then this all gets much more difficult. Then you're in the dynamics of both the reality and the statistical reality of what's happening in those places and into the dynamics of perception and what people think about where they are and where they live. And you'll have to come up with means of measuring that. So that was some where questions. Next set of questions, for who? You know, what are you going to measure for who? Let's look at the business agenda first. What kinds of things are the private sector going to be looking for evidence of improvement in? They're going to look at planning. They're going to look at red tape. They're going to look at and want information on skills, labour supply, and infrastructure. So I would put it to you that the private sector, for I have been in the private sector, will be interested in those types of dynamics and the measurement of those things. Individual sectors, because the private sector is not a homogeneous whole, the individual sectors may be interested in very different things. They may be interested in transport infrastructure. They might be interested in the knowledge infrastructure in a place, depending on the nature of the sector. So you better know what the key sectors are, and it's a good idea to know what the performance indicators for those key sectors might be. Employers and employees, because they too have a lot of common interests, but they don't necessarily have completely shared interests. They're going to be interested in jobs, skills, productivity, and the relationship and the dynamics of the labour market around all of that. And then you get to another vexed question, which is the disadvantaged. Because whilst the LEP agenda is about closing the enterprise gap primarily, it still remains true that there are going to be big and increasing challenges around the distribution of whatever benefits arise from LEP activity. And they will become apparent and manifest themselves much earlier than the performance of the LEPs will. They've already started happening, and they will become more apparent very quickly. And dealing with or being seen to address those is at least a consideration. So, then the when. When? Well, I would suggest to you that this year, your performance indicator is, do we exist? Your next performance indicator would be, do we have a credible and effective partnership? Incidentally, we could have a separate day on how one measures that. Remember that a wise man once described partnership as the suppression of mutual loathing in the pursuit of public funds. And and there ain't going to be any public funds, so you need to find a way of managing any mutual loathing that might already exist. So what you're going to have this year, get the thing up, get it running, get an effective partnership, good data, and a good sound plan. Those, if you deliver those things in the first year of any LEP, then quite honestly, I think you deserve some credit, especially given where we currently are in the gestation of LEPs. Let's think forward 3 years, not an unreasonable time frame. By then, what kinds of things are you going to expect to see? You're going to expect to see and track changes in things like company formation. Too early to track company growth, but you'll certainly be able to track company formation and startup rates, which is part of what this is all supposed to be about. You'll be able to track changes in employment, for good or ill. You'll be able to do that. And you'll be able to start to track investment flows, and you'll be able to start to track changes in the property market, both public and private, housing, retail, all of that. You should be able to start to do that. And then let's look at over the life of this government. The life of this government, there's a question in itself. But let's assume that that's 5 years, or however long that is. By then, you should be able to track company growth, company survival. Are you really changing the nature and composition of the indigenous company base in any given place? That is trackable over 5 years. Productivity changes should be trackable over 5 years. And changes in the nature and composition of employment, changes in the performance of the property market, the true realisation of some but not all infrastructure investments, all of that you should be looking to report on in 5 years. And, of course, improvements in the speed at which planning applications are processed and so on and so forth. But at what cost? No one is prepared to make a heroic assumption about what a LEP budget might be. Or is anyone? Just let's check. Now, I can't actually see, but no one's hand went up, so I'm going to assume that nobody's prepared to make that assumption. But one of the first things is going to be, say, you know, how much? How much did we manage to cobble together from where and how? With the removal of ring fencing, how much spend did we bend? How much other money? How have we persuaded other public bodies in the spirit of total place to do things differently in pursuit of an agenda set by the LEP, and how are we measuring those things? That, of course, is something that the Audit Commission knows how to do. So if you want a hand with that, we'll be around. Private sector spend on the LEP. Now, I think it's a vexed question, but I think it's a legitimate one. To what extent is the private sector giving up time and or money? Now, you can calculate the opportunity cost of the time spent by private sector involvement, and I think that's a legitimate thing to do. But beyond that, you might want to measure. And then subsequently, what private sector leverage has there been as a consequence of a LEP? And the further challenging question, that wasn't already going to happen anyway. That wasn't already on the stocks. There are numerous examples in my discipline of people counting stuff that was going to happen anyway, and as if by magic, the performance statistics of any endeavour become inflated. That is understandable from a political context, but fundamentally dishonest, and you shouldn't do it. If you really want to measure performance, then make sure you understand what was already underway and measure the improvement that you deliver. Compared to when and what, you're going to come under pressure to compare with the past and ask yourself whether things are getting any better. People will ask whether the LEPs have made things any better. Over the next 12, 18, 24 months, I think it will be fascinating to see whether anyone can present robust evidence that over that time period, things have got better, given the wave illustration that I presented earlier. But nonetheless, you'll be challenged to do that, so you best decide what your time frame of reference against which you're going to measure is going to be. To what extent are you fixing whatever is perceived to be the problem, whatever has been presented as the problem by the LEP bid itself, or indeed whether you're closing the enterprise deficit, which is why the thing is there in the first place. And then also, you're going to be asked, someone is going to ask, and I'll come to this later because I have some questions for LEP private sector chairs, but one of the things you'll be asked is, compared to where? How are we doing compared to other places? This is a game everyone already plays and magically produces evidence to show that you're doing better when your performance is being measured, but you're doing worse when you're bidding for resources. Well, you do. It's more wry laughter, but you do. And one of the things that I do professionally is measure how much of that is true, and we'll continue to do that. But you'll be measured against other places, not just other LEPs or local authority areas, other countries. For those of you that are involved in cities, against other cities. And you need to consider that. And lastly, around what you ought to be measuring, spend. How much did you raise? And of what you raised, how much did you use? Did you get any regional growth fund? Will be a question that an elected member or a LEP chair will ask frequently, I would imagine. Activity. What kinds of things did you do? What were the things? How many of them were different, new, less or more than previously? Outcomes. What did those things change? And also, if you have the time, which you probably won't have, what unintended consequences were there also as a consequence of that, for good or ill? The way this works in my experience is all the positive unintended consequences turn out to have been deliberate, and all the negative unintended consequences turn out to have been unavoidable. And finally, impacts. Over the time frames that I've talked about, what results have there been on the things that you said in your LEP bid matter? What has actually changed? Has the road network been improved? Has the advanced factory unit supply changed? Has employment done whatever you wanted employment to do, and a whole variety of other things? So there's a set, very quickly, of what I think you need. That's called a monitoring and evaluation framework. And if you need one, we'll write you one. I mentioned you don't need to read this slide, don't worry about it. But also published on the Audit Commission website, you will find our value for money guidance for auditors. The Audit Commission continues to audit spend in local authorities and to set the standard by which other people audit spend in local authorities. There is a section in that on economic development. Excuse me. And it goes into more detail than this does, but it allows you to see the kinds of things that auditors will look at in relation to economic development activity, and an economic development department, should such a thing actually continue to exist in the new fiscal climate. Finally, because I know we're tight for time and I thought I would go especially quick, some questions that I would suggest that private sector chairs of LEPs might ask, or those of you that are working in LEPs, some questions that I would suggest that you might be ready to be asked and you might be ready to answer. This year's set, who's the customer? What is it? What are you trying to sell to who? What is this thing? What's the budget? They'll want to know what the market's like. So again, you have to have done the analysis. They will be interested in who the competition is. Now, that competition could be a lot of things. You know, if you take the Tees Valley example that John spoke about, they're in the global business. And they have to have a comprehension of global competition. But if you've got somewhere, it's quite possible to imagine somewhere where the competition is just across the road or just up the road. One of the questions you will all be asked, do we know what will work? Or do we know that the things we're proposing to do will work? And if so, why? What is the prior evidence that says if we do this, it is reasonable to expect the following result? And how will we know? Which takes you back. What things are you going to measure? And how? And how frequently? And they'll also ask, who else has done this? If you think, for instance, that the way to increase enterprise is to encourage spin-out self-employment from the public sector, a set of legitimate questions arise from that. Anybody done this before? Anybody measured whether it works? Even if it does work, what's the likely success rate? And even if it does, how big a difference will that make to the private sector business base in this place? And crucially, how many businesses that already exist will it put out of business? So, that's called displacement, for those of you that don't know. Right, what I think you'll be asked next year by your chairperson or what I recommend that chair people should ask, much did we spend of what we had or managed to get? What did we achieve? And I think the manner in which those questions will be asked may well be yet more robust than we might have been used to, and they were sufficiently robust before. How does that compare to what we said we were going to do? Then you get to the interesting stuff. Are we the best? Now, with the demise of the National Indicator Set, one wonders how that might be done. But I am absolutely confident that private sector chairs of LET boards will quite legitimately ask, are we the best? And if they don't get the answer they want to that question, they'll ask that one. Are we the best? Are we the worst? And they'll want to know, and quite understandably so. Then they'll ask, if we're not the best, who is? And then they'll ask, how do we become like them? How can we improve? So, that, as I say, quick run through the things I think you'll be asked. We're still going to be around. We've got a national footprint. We have people all over the country. We have people working in most local authorities. We know a lot of this stuff backwards. And we're available to help you get the maximum possible value for money, because that is our stock in trade and has been for more than 20 years. You can get me at that address, and I wish all of you every possible success. Thank you.